Podcast, episode 284, Ertopia. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf. Not-topia.
Oh, man. Just, no.
Humans and animals didn't evolve. There are only knots. Knots of all different sizes and horrifying shades.
That would be a terrible... That's a terrible
thing. Just fanfic. Knots walking around on
just
two legs.
Big dicks.
Glistening.
So anyways, yeah, it's been a couple weeks since we last recorded. I had the con crud. Holy shit.
How was that?
That sucked. So I got the con crud going to ACON 26. What a thing it was. So I've said this before, that I'm not huge on crowds, and I only function really well because there's a table between me and the crowd. So it's like, the only time that that's been different is PAX South, because there was just so much to see and do that I didn't have to really wait around to... God damn it, I didn't mute my computer.
I can do it.
That I didn't have to wait in line for really anything. And so... You know, there was tons to see and do, and the crowds were a crowd, but there was always something to catch my eyes and distract me from the fact that there was 40,000 people pressing around me from all sides.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, ACON is fucking huge. It's in the Anatole. It's the biggest convention hotel complex in North Texas.
Mm-hmm.
7 acres indoor, massive everything. And...
I'm surprised it's bigger than the Sheraton and attached convention center that
it
was.
Yeah, it's somehow bigger. It had more function space, I think.
Than a convention center? Wow.
There's only so many rooms you can utilize in that convention center.
Oh.
And the attached hotel. There are more convention spaces in the Sheraton, but the Anatole, but they're smaller on average.
Mm-hmm.
It's a con where you have to line up well in advance of shit if you want to get in it, and I hate cons like that.
Yeah. Yeah, good luck at San Diego Comic-Con.
Well, I don't ever intend to go.
You know, I really can't see, not to interrupt you about ACON, but I really can't see doing that, because I hear about people, like, you, if you want to see the big panel, like the big Doctor Who panel, it's in Hall H or something, to line up like 8 to 10 hours before the panel. So you spend that entire day sitting in a line... practically outside the building in some cases, baking into heat. You don't see any of the con, and you go to this one couple-hour panel.
Yeah, and like I could probably I'd like to go to PAX Prime, the big one in Seattle, and that's 110,000, 120,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's fucking huge. So I don't know. Now, if I'm never going to get a ticket to PAX Prime because they sell out in 5 minutes, then, you know, they just... come instantly as they are showered with money. But yeah, ACON had a fuckload of people, and I had a table to sit behind, so I was okay. We had a con book ad for Nightmare Nights. We had a con... Yes.
I've not seen that.
and you know, it went really well, and I was there for that promotional stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Then the thing is, though, is like, anytime I ventured out from behind my table, I was just all of a sudden just like, oh my God, there's so many people.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I like anime, but I'm not massively into it. I'm not going to cosplay as characters. There's not a current series that I would be like, I can do that. I mean, I could be, you know, a big, big dude from an anime, and I could probably cosplay something Western, but that's just not my thing, right? And there was just so many people and so many vendors and, oh God. I ventured out from behind my table to walk around the con space once, and that was enough. Like I was overwhelmed by people. And
you're like, I've made a terrible mistake.
Yeah, I actually kind of was. And my cohort was like, no, guys, go ahead and take it. Go take a look around. I'm like, no, I'm comfortable here. I'm safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, these cons, I do not understand how anybody in the artist alley makes a fucking dime. Because, you know, it's one thing, like, all right, furry. You've got a million fucking styles. You got all these characters. You got custom characters. You don't have, like, you're not drawing you know, the average furry character is doing, I'm drawing a furry, two dog people fucking. All right. Well, you don't have that at Akon, for one. And it's generally like, oh, it's a depiction of anime character X and Y.
Fucking?
And no.
Oh.
It's distressingly rare. They don't have a lot of...
Rarity?
No.
Fucking an anime character?
No.
I hope Sven Pai notices me.
God.
He's anyway. In that comic. I'm so.
Yes. Yeah, it's just these comics. They have so many vendors and so many people selling so much similar stuff that I just don't know how anybody makes any money. You know, and even like the bigger vendors that have like, you know, oh, I've got, you know, this anime waifu figurine. Well, so do four other people in the same hall. And like they're vicious on the price and like undercutting each other constantly. There's like three or four people that sell nothing but bullshit Japanese snacks. Mm-hmm. And they're slightly different prices for the same stuff. There's, you know, you have to walk around like, oh, I want to get this weird, like, red bean paste between pancakes snack that's made by the same company that does ramen. And it was really tasty. Mm-hmm. It was, I one of the things I do at every Akon is I go and spend a little bit of money in some weird Japanese snack and eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, why not? And, yeah, it's just like going around and like, there's four people selling the same shit. This one's a buck cheaper. I'm going to go there.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Now, the people that have unique things, like, you know, embroidered towels or, in one case, soaps, handmade soaps, they sold out. They were able to leave on Saturday.
Oh, nice. What was on the soaps?
They were just handmade glycerin soaps with, like oatmeal, and one was, like, had dark coffee with it. And
so it was, like, contact caffeine-based?
Stuff like that, but also just they were really nice. They had, like, shaving soaps and stuff like that as well. They had shaped soaps. They had little – they had TARDIS soaps.
Oh, okay.
Dalek soaps. it was neat, and the ladies
I never
really
would have
nice.
Figured soap would sell so well at an anime con.
Yeah, and Panther is bringing in a couple of shaving soaps that he got from a Kickstarter. He got a nice single blade razor.
Oh yeah,
but just take a sniff of that. And this is great audio, great radio. Because I hope the listeners at home can smell the delightful soap.
Notcast now broadcasting Smell-O-Vision.
Oh man, I'm sweaty and gross. It's been a long ass day.
Citron neroli soap. Mm. Oh, orange, grapefruit, neroli, cedarwood. I don't know what petit grain is or petite grain. I guess it's a grain and it's small.
And he has another one here.
Beard shave. So instead of shaving cream or gel, you lather up with
he has an old school badger brush or badger hair shaving brush.
Yeah.
And an old school single blade razor. It's really nice. And I've been using it. It gets a much
cedar clove soap. Ah, yeah.
It's a much nicer shave than even like the Mach 3 I've had forever.
Mm-hmm.
Though if you nick yourself, boy howdy, does it bleed a lot. And it looks a lot worse than it actually is.
Yeah.
But, like I was shaving the neck beard off.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to do a beard thing.
Trying to do a Riker.
And unfortunately, it's, you know, barely starting it, but you have to get the neck beard off. You want to leave the chin and, you know, the goatee and all that. But
I am already Trilby shopping for you.
No. I have a nice jawline. I want a nice, you know, a Riker. I like. Anyways.
It's like Riker was hot.
Yeah, he was.
He was like everyone's first crush. Like, we were talking about that on Twitter one day where we're doing that first crush
shaving
thing.
The neck bear. Ah.
Some nerd girl, which I take, I mean, that as a compliment, was like, Riker was my first crush. And I was like, yes.
He was for my sister.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she was like, I want to watch it. She really hated him during the season one episodes because he didn't have the beard.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm aiming for a Riker.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just completely lost the train.
I'm sorry. We started talking about Riker's beard. Now
we talked about we were talking about vendors and talking about unique vendors and soap, neck beard shaving. Right. Anyway,
and they were selling Riker beard shavings from the set of Next Gen,
and they were really going. But anyways, I don't see how people do it except for just personal exposure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of it's got to come down to that.
Just, well, like in there, and they get these large format prints that are really expensive,
mm-hmm.
like $20. I mean, they're big prints, and they probably cost a couple bucks to print, but mm-hmm. still $20 for original artwork on a print. I mean, it's the average anime fan is not going to look at that and be like, "Fuck, I got to get that," right?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I mean, the same could be said of any like large format furry prints too.
But, sometimes they do well in the art show, but
oh yeah, yeah. I don't know. Again, I'm not an anime vendor. My experience as a vendor at any convention has been with behind the furry book table with you.
My experience as a vendor at Acon was super sad.
It was miserable. We sat there getting dirty looks the entire weekend.
Was that bad, except for that one guy that was like, "Man, they let furries deal here."
And yeah,
he had a look at his face, was like pure shock, you know, like,
well, like, wow,
how progressive of ACON.
Yes, they let us come out of our ghetto,
yeah,
you know, really. our FurCon ghetto, and dirty their pure anime con.
Like they lifted up the rug, and it was like, you know, you do want furries? That's how you get furries.
Yep.
We crawled out.
And, you know, there's still a contingent of fursuiters that show up. But, yeah, it's mm-hmm. still, it's a mega anime.
I'm sure it's fun to attend as a furry if you're into anime.
And,
but I have no reason. I mean, and a couple people asked me if I was going to be selling there. Not this year, but a couple years ago. And I was just
like
there's just no point, you know?
I'm a decade over the median age and like twice some attendees' age. It's just mm-hmm. weird at some point, you know? At least at FurryCons, there's a bunch of people our age.
Yeah, that came into the fandom in the late 90s, early 2000s that are kind of aging up with us. Still
stuck with it, you know?
I mean, there's a lot of younger people coming in, and Zootopia is definitely going to add to that. And
there's our segue.
Yeah. You know, there is still, it's not like we're a tiny, tiny minority age-wise in the fandom.
Well, I mean, there are still plenty of older people, but the vast majority of people attending the con are early 20s, if late teens.
Yeah.
And you know, I like anime, but I don't like it that much.
Yeah. I like the look of Zootopia.
Yeah. So Zootopia looks really cool.
Yeah.
And all the furries ever went, they use the word anthropomorphic.
Yeah, as if we fucking invented the word anthropomorphic. Right?
But they explained it in a very good manner, and they have the variety of sizes and shapes of their character design. You know,
I love the face that he makes when he does the selfie, takes the selfie picture.
Yeah,
just
and then he's like, he deflates. I mean, so all we've seen is like the story synopsis and like some of the characters, and people are just like, "Oh man, this is great! It's gonna be awesome!"
So much Rule 34.
There's already a bunch of that too.
There was that like months ago when like that very first like water painting style concept art.
Yeah, and people are like, "Oh, this is gonna be furry." See, I would have been really happy if it had been 2D, but I think their 3D looks good.
Yeah, they're three. You know what's weird is that I'm not really into 3D movies at all. Like, you know, I have not seen Brave, Frozen, Big Hero 6, any of the Madagascars, any of the Kung Fu Pandas. People are like really surprised. Like, I've had a couple people make like Frozen or whatever references at me. And I know there's a popular song called Let It Go just because so many people have mentioned it. It's become a meme.
It's okay.
You know, I'm like, those movies are all right. I usually enjoy them when I sit down and watch them. I haven't seen Up. That's a big one. Everyone is like, fuck, you need to see Up.
You should see Up.
It'll make you cry.
It will in like the first 10 minutes.
Yeah. And
I'm actually
looking forward to this one, though.
It's a pretty good movie, but Zootopia does seem really... It's by the same dudes that are doing... that did Black Wreck-It Ralph. It's mm-hmm. a Disney CG, not a Pixar CG movie, I think.
But Disney bought Pixar, so it's the same thing.
Yeah. The thing is, though, there's the Disney CG studio, and then there's Pixar. They're, like, the same thing, but they're separate. They can work on multiple CG movies at a time.
Really?
I'm pretty sure that's the case.
Are you not thinking of DreamWorks, maybe?
No, I'm not thinking of DreamWorks, because DreamWorks would get... should go nowhere near Zootopia at all, ever.
Oh, why is that?
They're just second rate when it comes to CG.
Oh, okay.
Opinions.
Wait, they do Ice Age, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I enjoyed the first one. I haven't seen the second one.
They did a lot of also-ran movies. Like, they did, back when Bugs Life came out, they did Ants. When Toy Story came out, they did some robot movie. They're a real also-ran kind of group.
Wait, did they do the Iron Giant then? Was that the robot movie? Or?
No.
Was that 2D?
No, that was 2D. That was okay. A good one.
Yeah, okay.
But
I'm so not up on my animation.
They did How to Train Your Dragon and How to Drink. Those were good.
I'd say it's been years since I watched an animated movie, but that's not true, because the last animated movie I watched was Rainbow Rocks.
No. But yeah, Zootopia looks pretty cool, and I hope that they do a good job of it and bring forth a new generation of furries. Rise up, ye children.
Yeah, I saw...
Have your first awkward crush be on an anthropomorphic fox. Yes.
I love the picture of... oh, God, what's his name? Nick Wilde.
Yeah.
Of Robin Hood holding Nick Wilde's tie and looking at him kind of seductively. That was funny enough.
Yeah.
And then someone added the caption, go out there and recruit the new generation of furries. I was like,
well, yeah, you know, there's those pictures that are like, hey, what was your first crush? You know, and it's like, talk about dude, another gal's talking about some guy, and the guy is sitting there, and it's the Robin Hood tied up with the chain around his neck, or yeah. You know, Rocket Raccoon, you know,
yeah, or oh God, what was the? I'm trying to remember the other. Oh, it was one of the Digimon characters, I think.
The werewolf looking one.
Yeah. That was one of the comics I remember seeing. Yeah, but
it's cool that they're just being like, hey, look, it's a universe full of non-domesticated animals. There's no dogs or anything. It's a Kyle Gold universe.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they got wildebeests and fat cheetahs and giant giraffes.
I'm so amused at the fat cheetah. Yeah, I just ran after too many cheeseburgers, I guess. I don't know. But speaking of cheetahs, though, did you see Tyrellus's comic?
Yes.
Oh, it was so funny.
The cops are like, what's the problem, officer? I could be doing more than 40. You're doing 90. I can see the fucking
the can see it from here. Pull the fuck over.
The cheetah's running beside the car.
Yeah. Oh, that guy's art. Just,
I like his
stuff. He does these really cute comics that are kind of sarcastic. And one of my favorites was the YCH he did, air quotes, because it wasn't really, where his character was leaning on his side snoring, and your character was like lying on its back staring sadly at the ceiling. And I posted it to Twitter, and somebody replied, that's really mean. And I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah, I love cute stuff like that. And Zootopia will bring forth another wave of furries, and a lot of people will be like, that's what got me into the fandom in a decade or so.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And not even then, you know, it's like there'll be teenagers that are like, damn, oh, man, I want to fuck that bunny.
Did you see the Russian nesting dolls drawing?
Yes.
That was
first. It's like Nick Wilde puts his paw next to Judy Hopps' head, and then the wolf. And then, boom, giant head is the giant wildebeest.
And it just goes back and back and back. And I was looking for that other picture.
Then a dragon.
And then a dragon. Nope, no dragons.
And it eats them all.
It's still loading.
You're
be gone by morning.
Nice.
So we're done fanboying over Tyrellus. Tyrellus is Cerberus on FA, if you want to follow him.
Yeah. So.
Cute style I'm using.
Yep.
I'm really looking forward to Zootopia. Okay, so here's the thing. It opens 1 week before Furry Fiesta.
Oh.
So Kyle and I have already talked about it, and he's like, I will totally go and see it with you during Fiesta. And I was like, okay, let's do this. So we're probably going to get a good number of our friends together to go see it during the con.
Nice.
Yeah, so we'll miss some of the con's programming and shit.
Oh,
but
no.
It'll be a fun furry meat out
to go and see the movie. Don't wear your fursuit.
No. But we'll go and fucking invade a local movie theater. And I like to go late at night when there's no kids around anyway.
Right, go to the Plano West XD.
You know, I'm kind of like, I don't want to take the kids' movies away from kids, you know? Like, I don't want to be like the creepy brony in the dirty Rainbow Dash t-shirt showing up to see Equestria Girls or something like that.
Those guys are the worst.
You know? Just as an example, you know, I don't want to be the creepy old guy furry equivalent of that.
Or be the creepy old guy in the natty-ass Star Wars t-shirt going to be there day zero of... Force Awakens.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But that's, well, I guess it's for kids, quote unquote, but you know, it's really not. But, you know, this is going to be a kids movie.
Yeah.
And I'm going to see it when kids aren't there, which is like the 10 o'clock showing at night or something like that. That's actually, even like opening weekend, if you go like 10, 10:30 at night on a Saturday, there's like 10 people in the theater. Like, yeah. Mad Max about a week after it opened, and I saw it at like 10:30 on a Saturday. 10 people.
When I went to go see Winter Soldier, and then later when I went to go see Avengers 2, I went at weird times, and there was fuck all anybody in the theater, and it was great.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Like, not middle, having to like center be, seating.
Yeah. Yes. Not be completely every fucking seat taken and you're all crammed in or waiting in line for an hour before getting in there. Although it is kind of cool that a lot of theaters are doing assigned seats now too, which is a new thing that I think is kind of cool.
See if Studio Movie Grill, actually, the one off of 75, is doing that.
Hmm.
Because it's just straight across Beltline.
You know, I've heard they're not all like this. Like, I went to Studio Movie Grill once when I first moved here, like 10 years ago.
Alamo Draft House.
Okay, well, either way. But it was like, it was really kind of, it felt kind of skeezy and run down. But then I heard from people later on that Studio Movie Grill would really like...
It really depends on the location.
Yeah, that's what I heard. It really depends on the location.
Like the Studio Movie Grill that's further south on 75, just a bit north of 12, mm-hmm. Loop 12, it's kind of old, kind of run down.
Ah.
But there's a brand new one, I think on Green Valley, which basically it's a major artery street south of Beltline.
Okay.
There.
And of course, like you said, the Alamo Draft House.
And the Alamo Draft House is really nice.
I have not been there yet. Of course, I hear good things about Alamo Draft House. That's right. You saw, was it Rainbow Rocks?
I've seen the several first movies one? There.
Okay. You've gone with Zap to like the Saturday morning cereal cartoon
thing. Yeah.
That's kind
of
neat.
I haven't done one of those recently because Zap always tells me when they have one.
Hmm.
But they're always good fun. I went and saw, Captain Inn.
That's right.
They had a couple of the show people there.
Didn't they do a Jim and the Holograms?
They did Jim and the Holograms, which was, that was very 80s. They had the voice actress who did Jim there, and she did a QA. Cool. We also saw the Transformers, mm-hmm. G1 Transformers, and we also saw a Marvel cartoon block,
mm-hmm.
which was like the Iron Man cartoons, Spider-Man, a couple of those Spider-Man cartoons, including 60s Spider-Man, the 90s X-Men cartoon, X-Men Evolution, and something else. It was all good nostalgia stuff.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what those are, is nostalgia.
The old Super Friends one where Iceman comes out on his ice ramp thing.
But they didn't, I think I had to leave before that one ended. But yeah, I've been to several of those and they're a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be an interesting licensing situation too.
They just don't tell them.
Shh. Yeah.
Actually, Alamo Draft House is a big enough company, I think, now they probably do have to actually license them. They're not like on the down low, like most convention video rooms or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that even a thing anymore? I know we don't do it anymore, but.
Akon does.
Uh-huh.
Only because.
Is it all Funimation?
It's all Funimation.
Right, yeah.
And actually, this is funny. One of the VPs is one of Bob's exes.
Oh.
And she came by the table during Akon.
Uh-huh.
And we had talked back and forth, and the joke was that she didn't actually exist and he was just bullshitting. No, she came by the table and we talked a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob just talked with him and it's like, hey, could we possibly have a Funimation have, you know, if we end up having a video room, can we get some Funimation stuff and just show it? Some all ages stuff.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, sure. So that's cool. Mm-hmm. You know, if we end up getting a room that has, and we have a spare projector and people want to watch anime, we can do some brony ass anime, I guess. I don't know.
It'd be, no, oh, it has a horse in it.
No, no. Oh, dude, we could do Black Lagoon because several of the voice actors that we have from Pony that are coming this year also did Black Lagoon. So, like, Marika Hendrix is Revy, who is this ultra foul-mouthed gunslinger girl.
Can we, like dub her into some Pony scenes?
She
is she Sunshine?
It's Gilda.
Oh, Gilda. Okay.
Yeah. So, like, you could probably be, like, use the most recent episode with Gilda in it and just have her be like, fucking fuck you, goddamn son of a bitch, cocksucker. Blah, blah,
blah, blah. You know, and that's not exactly out of character for Gilda.
Yeah, she's a bitch. So. And also, Kathy Westlake was also, like, this kid who's, like, the MacGuffin of the show. He's mm-hmm. been kidnapped repeatedly. Tabitha St. Germain was also in the show a psychotic maid assassin.
Huh.
So you have scenes where, you know, Rarity is yelling, is creepily pointing her gun at Gilda while Spike cowers in the corner. Anyways, I don't think we'll do that.
This sounds like some amazing fanfic.
Yes. That would be funny. It's like, I don't know, Rarity goes mad and kidnaps Spike and goes off somewhere, and Gilda's the one that volunteers to save him because she likes him, and that's fanfic, and oh god. My word to God's ears. Wait. My word, my mouth to fanfic writer's ears.
That could work, though. That'd be kind of, the VAs might get a kick out of something they did years ago.
But then again, if
the show is full of foul-mouthed characters,
we would not show it because it wouldn't be all ages.
Yes, that's the problem with your stupid all ages con. God.
Yeah. Well, there are other things that they've been in that we probably could show.
You guys should have a Klopp panel after hours.
No.
Oh yeah, where you read Klopp fic.
That's a great idea for another con, not mine. Actually, there is a con that's having an after-hours adults, like, adult market kind of thing. It's, like, after...
Oh, an adult market? Like, you can go and buy your
Klopp at a Pony Con.
And Saucy Prince sold under the table.
Yeah, except this is going to be over the table, and they just check your ID when you go in. Now, that was the plan last I'd heard for a con in Ohio. And people were like, oh my god, this is the worst thing. And people going, yes.
Excellent.
So we'll see what happens.
By my clap, my children.
Yes. Behold the crotch tits.
Oh god, that's just, this don't look right. I'm sorry, I know it's anatomically
shit, where were we? Distracted ourselves going like we're talking about porn.
So
yeah.
I discovered a fun Twitter account today called it's the word comments is purposely misspelled. So Savern's going to flip through some of the porn that I'm producing for Anthrocon.
Mm-hmm. We can chill in just a minute.
Porn comments is comments, and they take stock photographs and apply comments that people have left on porno videos to them, and they turn out like fucking hilarious, like like best sex, horny sex, so hot, and it's like this businessman sitting there looking. So that's my recommendation for a fun thing. Why he slapped her face with the dick? So very sad. There, Savern. Yeah. he fucked that ass so good, his cock engraved initials in tomorrow's shit. So, yeah, stock porn comments. Look that up on Twitter. It's funny. So what I've also another thing to look for is all the zookeepers doing the Christopher Pratt taming velociraptor scene from Jurassic World. There's the one with Waz.
Red pandas.
Red pandas who are so very vicious. I need to see Jurassic. I would like to see Jurassic World. I have not seen it yet. Oh, actually, on the topic of movies, did you hear about the Arnold Schwarzenegger charity thing today?
No.
So Arnie, in a dual promotional for the new Terminator movie and for this children's after-school program that he supports, he got completely made up in the Terminator makeup and decided to scare the shit out of people. So apparently there's this place in Hollywood where they've got, like, it's like a wax museum where they've got wax mock-ups of famous characters. You can get your picture taken next to the bride from Kill Bill was one of them, stuff like that. Yeah. So people are standing next to the Terminator, quote unquote, and then he moves and speaks, and they go, and there's just, it's just a stream of videos of people freaking out, screaming and being like, ah, you know. And, you know, he does the thing where he says to a random guy at a truck, get out. And the guy starts to get out. And he's like, just kidding. But it's a funny video. You should watch it. He also fucks with a guy that is a Terminator impersonator.
Oh.
And he's like repeating what they say during the I'll be back back and forth and everything. I just thought it was amusing.
I'll be back.
This is our one cool thing segment, I guess.
Yeah. Well, this is a For Planet Shilling moment.
Oh, yeah. This right. Remember. Yes.
We're your host and on For Planet Service. So we need to talk about the hot new releases coming up for Anthrocon.
That's right. We'll have over 20 new releases at least.
I've seen Kadath's Patreon shilling saying, you know, donate to my Patreon and see this hot ass shit. Well, this is some hot shit. So it's a porn comic featuring Puzzle and
Diamond.
So the nice thick giraffe girl and the zebra. And they fuck. It is nice. Like, that's all I have to say. It's, if you like lesbian ungulates fucking, then it's, there's, you know, some size difference going on. There's some good old lesbian cunnilingus.
There's some strap-on. There's some dildo play.
And, it's a good number of pages, too. And that one's going to be $20. And the next thing that I like.
Yes.
You like Sam Picos's.
Yeah, I know you like his
work. I love his stuff. It is so, the lines are so clean, and he draws both male and female characters really, really nicely and alluringly, and I'm like, yes, I could masturbate to this. But I won't, because I'm doing radio.
So this is
look, it's Renamon.
This is the fifth art gallery book.
Yeah, and there's gay stuff and lesbian stuff and
a few Mick the Otter pieces.
I like me some Mick. Flat-chested otter girls. Ah, yeah.
Yeah, I love his stuff. And he always does. I love his sense of design, too. Like, he always comes up with a really nice cover design. You know, and he has those borders around all the pieces that really, you know, it's sort of like the rug in The Big Lebowski, or it really ties it all together.
Yeah. And he just, you know, the lines are super clean.
Yeah.
And, you know, he does paws and vaginas and dicks and everything else. Like, that's really nice. That POV piece right there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Page, I don't know, it's not page number, damn it.
It's towards the end. Realistic boob physics.
Realistic boob physics and delicious looking vagina.
It's if I recall correctly, it is a 70 page book, so that's probably around 67, 68.
And this is 25. You got University Days, which is
cute. Tales.
Twinkie Boys. It's an anthology piece. Lots of gay fucking.
I gotta find the artist of the last piece in there, like that one. The one starting on the right there.
This one?
That one's really good. But the last one there, look at like the fucking detail on that college campus and shit. I mean,
wow.
Yeah. And it's really clean looking. It looks really good in black and white too. And
story by The Black Rook, art by 2LL2L?
Yeah, I don't know how you pronounce that, but
I don't know. Still, and the thing is, these are all pretty long comics, too.
Yeah.
They're all very, very gay.
Yep.
Which, you know, I mean, this is a pretty thick anthology, too, and it's $25.
I forget how many pages are in that.
Coffee Stains 3, another Cadathar book. I like me some Cadath again.
Frappalicious. Yes.
And again, this is another mixed book. You've got the girls and the... What kind of dog is that guy?
A Saluki.
A Saluki with a massive dick.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a dick girl, snake, dragons, more lots of puzzle, lots of puzzle.
Yeah.
Lots of puzzle. I like me some puzzle. Jackal chick, lots of her.
Nightshade.
Nightshade. The ibex.
Yeah, Olivia.
You know the characters.
Yeah, I've been reading the comics and stuff. Yeah, the sheep, Gabby, her name is. The sheep's a new character. I think there's a comic that he posted to his FA where, like, someone's actually shearing her. It's like shearing time.
It's like, how does she do that? Well, she gets some help from Nightshade.
And she has, like, yeah. And she has a little landing strip of wool. Yeah. And that's an old video game comic.
Fuck.
Yeah.
So yeah, Coffee Stains 3, another art book. I'm really glad you guys branched out into doing those.
Oh yeah, I'm really happy with that idea because it's an idea I had it's back in 2010, 2011, and I walked over to a table where it was like a few artists that I'd talked to in the past, and I was beating myself up because I was away from the table for like an hour or two.
Yeah.
But like out of that conversation, we've probably produced like 20 or more art books.
Oh, yeah.
And the initial folks we talked to were like Scapo recommended us to San Picos. And then we worked with Cadath and he recommended us to Ritz, who we did ship teas with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so they've all spoken very well of us, and that's really nice.
And, yeah, and it's basically organically grown you guys.
Yeah, yeah. So now we end up, you know, with I don't even remember how many art books per year we bring out.
And they sell. So, I mean, yep. There's clearly a desire for this. You have found a market that is willing to buy what you're making. And it's also, you know, it's really good for the artists, too, because, you know, they got their – you know, Patreons and whatnot, they're being able to art a lot more.
Yeah.
And the books are nice supplemental, too.
Yeah, because you figure they've already done the work. You know, they've made their money from the digital sales with Patreon and commissions and whatever. And then, you know, we put out the print product, and people still want a print product these days. It's not something that's really gone away. What if the internet's
down and your computer's unplugged or you don't have power and you need to masturbate?
Yeah. And we provide that service.
You provide a very important service to internetless, powerless furries that can somehow make it to conventions.
Yeah, furries will be able to fap to survive in like the Fallout post-apocalyptic universe or something. In when we're so darkness. Irradiated, we start actually growing fur, you know, which then falls out and then we die. But
in the
still,
grim darkness of the fur future, there is only four.
In the world of Zootopia. Oh, I wonder if they'll explain why there's no humans, because there's some people
they're just gonna be like
there's some people that review some of the comics and the books that are like there wasn't a reason for them to be furry, you know, like unless it's explained why there were furries and the story can only be told with furries and you couldn't easily substitute humans, which it's not a point of view I agree with, but I'm just like, oh, I wonder if they'll explain why they're furries in Zootopia.
Because they're fucking cartoon animals, and they wanted to use that medium as opposed to being like, oh. It's really easy. Okay, so you can get away with a lot more silliness with cartoon animals, even if you're trying to tell a serious story.
Yeah.
Because they don't map to races.
Mm-hmm.
So you care, it doesn't, you don't have to worry about representation. Mm-hmm. Well, that guy's a leopard, that guy's a fox, that guy's a tiger. You know, their voices, if they're animated, all right, that maps to a race. And, you know, there's some of that in like Kyle's books, like the tigers are Russian in some cases. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a couple like the wolves, the black wolves are, you know, black. And so well, at least, You
I guess
think
I,
about that
I
way.
Picked that up a little bit from Saul in Green Fairy.
Yeah, well, like there's a dude that's like, the way he talks, he's in the third book. I can't remember his name, but he talks about how like he really likes rap. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that doesn't, I know some white people that like rap and I'm kind of cool with some of the 90s stuff, but you know, they, you don't have to worry about people being like, oh, well, you're being stereotypical or you're not representing this.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it allows you to tell a story that transcends worrying about race or, yeah, or different representation.
It's like, you know, why is Equestria Girls filled with people from Doug's universe? Well, because if they mapped the characters to a race, it would be a problem because nobody would be happy.
Yeah, I've seen them do that. Be like, oh, Rarity's Indian and Twilight's a black girl. And
or Twilight's Indian and for some reason Pinkie Pie's black. And or Rarity. And, you know, it's like they just slap random-ass races on people.
But it'd be weird for Rarity to be black because everyone else thought Rarity was Jewish. I mean, she could have converted, I suppose.
I don't know.
And all those cute pictures of Rarity and Sweetie Belle lighting a menorah would then no longer be canon.
Yeah. It's like... Anyways, he's like a, it's one of those things like, that's why, you know, if they're weird colored people, they don't map to a race. You know, they're furries. They don't map to a race. They can tell a story without having to worry about bullshit representation quotas.
I actually saw a comment on, when Hasbro posted the, Music to My Ears video is a promo for Rainbow Rocks. And for those that don't know, it's just a human vinyl scratch walking around with headphones on, listening to this pretty cool track. And, you know, and she walks around all the town and you see all the people walk by her and everything like that. And one of the comments actually said, man, there sure are a lot of white girls in this. And I'm like, the girls are like purple and yellow and orange
and green
and like ivory white, not flesh tone white. And I'm just like, the fuck are you talking about?
Well, you know, like Sweetie Belle's white. Right. Rarity, if she was in there, is white. Vinyl Scratch is whitish. You know, so there's like at least three white girls in that video.
Rarity is eggshell, I'll have you know.
Yeah. But and Princess Celestia is a pearlescent pink.
It very, just seems light. Such... a bizarre comment to make about that cartoon out of all things.
Like, I mean, you
could sort of argue with The Simpsons because Carl is clearly black.
Yeah, and Apu is Indian.
Yeah, but...
That's the right name, right?
Apu, yeah.
Okay, I don't watch The Simpsons.
It's been years.
So I'm just like, did I say that right?
Yeah. But fucking ponies? No, they're... I'm not saying the racial representation is not a thing to worry about. I'm just saying it doesn't necessarily apply to My Little Pony.
Or furries, even. I mean, that's, you know, people can tell, you know, stories about, you know, without having to worry about as much as, you know, nobody's going to take issue. Well, in this particular case, I thought that because blah was blah, I felt he was stereotypical. Well... he's a fucking dingo. Unless he's eating a baby, that's not stereotypical.
I was so going to go there and you beat me to it.
Yes, anyway. I did. So, yeah.
That sure was a thing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's good stuff going on.
Yeah. Well, we got a bunch of books coming out, too.
Yeah. I'm not going to get to come to Anthrocon, but I'm sure you guys will do well.
Yeah, we got a full team this year. I'm having a weird Anthrocon this year because I did not get the time off approved for anything but Friday.
Like Friday night.
So no, I'm going to fly out Thursday night, but I'm going to come home Sunday night.
Oh,
so I'm not doing the big 2 day long drive out there and 2 days back and hanging and crashing with friends. So Tieran and Buck are driving. Buck's going to be driving my car and he's going to like stay a couple extra days and visit family and stuff like that. Because usually Buck flies. Or he rides with Tieran.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to drive my car. Tieran's going to drive his car. I'm going to fly in and out. And basically, I'm not helping bring any of the stuff there, but I'll be there to leave people at the table.
Yeah, you'll be able to do your job.
Yeah, be there to take people's monies. And, yeah. You know,
it's the best thing.
And then give it all back to the artist.
Yeah.
And the printing company. Oh, God, the printing company.
But artists don't pay taxes. They're going to revive that topic now.
Oh, God, it's so fucking ridiculous.
God, we're already 45 minutes into this show. We're just talking hot shit. For Planet.com, buy our books, or Buzz's books. Go to baddogbooks.com and buy my book, Summerhill by Kevin Frain. Recorded by me. Or you can get an Audible. Yay.
Yeah, it's actually doing pretty well on Audible.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
So,
like
we said last week, has a review. Yeah,
Divisions is doing good too. Good. I've now sold over 1,100 books through Audible. Yay!
Oh, nice. That's a lot of books.
Yeah, it is. And once I get edit notes back from Uncovered, I will get that to Audible as soon as I can.
Oh man, the last one comes out in January. If he gets the manuscript finalized, I mean, you'd have time.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be really cool if Audible doesn't act like dickheads this time.
I know what they want now.
Yeah, yeah.
I may not be personally pleased with the audio it sounds in the end, but if Audible's okay with it, then it fits their needs and whatever.
Yeah.
And again, it's my own voice, and hearing my own voice is weird.
Yeah.
So, people like it. Actually, God, I had actually somebody that was like, oh man, I gotta get my more Saverin voice.
Saverin, the voice of furry audiobooks.
Hey, I'm cool with that. but yeah, well, basically once Kyle gets me edit notes for Uncovered, I will get to work on it immediately. And if there's chapters I don't need to do any, like, recording edits, then I can do it just that much quicker.
Yeah.
I mean, I go through manually and, like, delete pops and clicks,
mm-hmm.
because the algorithm is
farts and belches.
Yeah. Anything that he notes and like going through and the grace clicks, like tongue clicks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I go through and manually delete because the actual algorithm that Audacity has is kind of shit.
Mm.
And it makes the audio sound weird.
Oh yeah. You can't just use that noise removal filter.
I use noise removal to start, and that kills any of the background noise for the most part, but then I have to go back and do any like any of that noise.
For some reason here you started speaking in that African dialect, yeah, with pops and clicks.
Anyways.
Abuse the that, you know, in your version Lee calls Dev Wallet and what and, he calls him cock sleeves.
Yeah.
I think we came up with yeah.
Oh, Cocksleeve.
I love you.
Oh, Wallet, I love you too. Buy me a house. Okay, let me use you, Cocksleeve. And then they fucked.
The end. For more quality like this, buy Divisions on Audible.com.
Start with Out of Position, and then go to Uncovered, and then to Divisions, and then...
And then to Summerhill.
Yes. All the books. All of those credits.
Books.
So, we have a couple emails.
No, we don't. Delete. No. Yeah, we have a Califer Con report.
Go ahead and read that, Fuzz.
Okay. All right. I accidentally closed my email app. All right. Califer 2015 Con report. My shortened synopsis of the con is that it was an absolute blast.
Cool. Thanks for writing in.
The end. Delete. No. I fought my way through 3 hours of traffic that Los Angeles is famous for on Friday afternoon until I finally arrived at the Irvine Marriott. Registration was a breeze, and within 15 minutes, I was getting my crap stowed in a room with my three friends who had already checked in. I headed down.
Did they engrave his name on Lefty's chest?
Oh, I love that expression. Anyway, I'm sorry, email writer. Anyway, I headed downstairs shortly after and tried my luck with a couple of panels that appealed to me. Freeform writing and songwriting. Unfortunately, they turned out to be a bit jumbled in context, and I honestly wouldn't recommend Califer for its panels. Sadly, the dealer's den was closed when I left, but I spent the next few hours having a fun and relaxing time in the artist lounge, drawing with a few people, and eventually heading out to a tasty Japanese curry house for dinner. I don't know, Japanese restaurants did curry. That's an interesting mix. For dinner with my roommates. I'd seriously vouch for Califer because of the many delicious ethnic food options that are just a short walk or drive from the hotel, although it can get a bit overwhelming in some of the shopping centers nearby. Saturday morning saw me getting up bright-eyed at 8, and after a quick face-stuffing session, I made my way out to the dealer's room, where I ran into the GOH, Zivago, having a conversation with someone who was interested in commissioning a fursuit from her. He wanted the fursuit to have glowing eyes, and Zivago and him were going back and forth with ideas, and I suggested a few thoughts about lighting, which led to a 45-minute nerd-out session between myself and the GOH. Sounds fun. I spent way too much money on things, including prints, a watercolor piece of my fursona, a new bracelet, and during that process, I wound up spending almost 8 hours talking to artists and fooling around in the dealer's den. I even helped a few people out around the room by doing small errands, like getting supplies and watching tables while people got lunch, and it felt really cool to be closer to the artists there and part of some of the behind-the-scenes aspects of the con. Later that afternoon, I attended the panels where the guys from College Humor were awarded the Ursa Major for their endlessly fucked-up furry force videos. I believe, if I recall correctly, the Ursa Majors will be given out at the con that used to be Morphicon. And I say that because they changed their name recently, and I don't remember what
that was. The one in Ohio, right?
Yeah. And I don't remember what they changed the name to. But anyway, I got a chance to chat with one of the guys from College Humor for a bit, and I was delighted to hear that they're planning on releasing a third video, which I can't wait to see once it's up on YouTube. He also said that apparently when the group from College Humor got in, someone had put up a sign that said, "What a beautiful parking lot," with a picture of the villain from Furry Force. Sadly, I think the Marriott took the sign down at some point, but it sure made for some laughs. After a quick bite to eat, I made my way to a Ferraticon event in a panel room that was to introduce people to it. I'd had some experience with Magic the Gathering and Yu-Gi-Oh!, so I figured a dirty furry card game was right up my alley. 5 booster packs, 3 decks, and $80 later, I figured out I had a problem with buying more cards, but I had an awesome time and met some people who I'll definitely be playing cards with again. It was already way too late when I left the Ferraticon room, but my inner fur fag was strong that night, and I proceeded to go full gay by dancing around the rave until almost 3 a.m. You never go full gay.
Man.
Sunday morning, I headed back from the con, exhausted, sore, out of money, and absolutely thrilled. Califer was a great con for getting to know people, doing artsy stuff, wasting your money on a bunch of furry odds and ends, and trying new things within the fandom in a smaller setting. I'm really stuffed up tonight. The only thing I'm going to change is my roommate situation. I was with a puppy and master who were a little intense at times, and my other friend who was a bit too cuddly. Just a reminder to furries, sometimes even friends can get to be too much after a few days. Keep casting knots, and I hope this review hasn't been too rambly. A broke and very happy tiger, Shoji.
Cool.
Ah, that was great. Thank you very much for letting us know.
Yes.
I'm always really interested to hear how people did at cons and stuff. I have not been to Califer, although I was.
Isn't it actually in SoCal?
Irvine this year. I believe they're moving to Burbank next year, which is only about an hour away from Irvine. So basically, SoCal, LA-ish area.
It's all in the greater LA area.
I was going through like Wikifur and a couple of other sites, like reading up on some furry history, and I thought it was interesting that everyone thinks that further confusion is. It is the one that replaced conference after conference stopped, but it actually isn't. Like, Further Confusion actually overlapped with conference for a couple of years.
Yeah, and they're also in separate areas.
Yeah, and then once conference stopped, it was actually Califer is what came after
the successor.
Yeah, so like Califer has a lot of like the older fans and the gray muzzles from that area. And stuff like that. So that's kind of interesting. Like, I mean, it'd be kind of neat to go and, you know, I don't know, meet some of the founders of Furry or something like that.
I remember when I had to dial into a BBS to get my erotic pictures of gay foxes.
You know, there's probably people my age that had that experience too. On that topic. This is interesting, was that Fred Patton, the furry historian and reviewer, is actually going to be writing years ago, he did a History of the Furry Fandom that went up to about 1995, which is when he wrote it, and that's out there on the net. And he's actually writing a book now that's going to be like an actual reference style book that's going to go from then on to 2015.
So 20 years of furry.
Yeah. And so, you know, he's actually looking right now for people that have information. Like, Wikifur has some information on the furry cons, like attendees and usually charity numbers. Uh-huh. Not all of them have fursuit parade numbers and stuff like that, and programming info and stuff like that.
He's looking for historical information on that.
He's going to be collating all of that and looking for historical information and stuff like that, which I'll probably end up picking up that book because I think that's kind of interesting. So probably check that out. But that's, I mean, we're not publishing that. He just got an offer from like a mainstream reference book publisher that thought this would be interesting.
Cool.
So that comes out sometime next year. I'll probably pick up a copy when it comes out. So I just thought that was neat.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on with our eBay.
All right. So this one is titled A Disturbed Wall of Text. Anonymous, please. With a smiley face. Give me a smiley face. I've got to comply.
Got to represent.
Yep. Good day to you all. I apologize in advance for what is probably going to be a long and grueling read. I tend to fall into the trap of excessive explanations. I picked up this flaw during high school, having been misunderstood by peers numerous times. I am sorry for what I'm about to put you through. Please feel free to skim or even ignore the email altogether if its enormity unnerves you. Also, TLDR at the very bottom, though full read would be most appreciated. With another smiley face. This is a pretty long one. It's not longer than any fics I've read, though, so...
First and foremost... Read it in your professional, like, fanfic reading voice.
All right. First and foremost, a reply on the show would be lovely, but given your busy schedule, the tons of emails piling up, as well as the abysmal length of my message, I can't imagine you'd be able to fit this on air. In short, any reply will be appreciated. Expediency, twice as much. I've been meaning to write you for probably over a year, to reprise a centuries-old question I've asked with additional info now added for clarification, and probably with the hope of a slightly more serious answer this time around. Although I realize now the crew's response was adequate, albeit a bit oversprinkled with humor, slightly underappreciated at the time. I believe I'm not writing from the same email address as back then, and will not mention what email was sent, hopefully to prevent you from becoming further agitated. You can probably guess who is writing, but that's a non-issue now. I have no idea, but I'm going to guess you wrote, like, very, very early on, and back before we, well, serioused up. The real issue at hand. Yesterday I had a rather morbid self-revelation, which also consisted of me answering the aforementioned question I've been meaning to ask you. I burst my own fantasy bubble of being bi and surrendered to the fact that I am 99% gay. And with that came the bitter revelation that I'll probably end up alone and miserable for a very long time, possibly for life. My hopes of having a normal family collapsed in flames alongside my dreams of having kids of my own. This whole emotional mess has got my abdomen contorted in a leaden ball for the better part of a day, not to mention has caused me to lose sleep and have two separate nightmares in the same night. For reference, I've never had trouble sleeping before, not after my dad passed away, not before all my big exams in university. I also rarely remember dreaming and even less frequently have nightmares. Two in the same night is a first for me. I've had a few occasions where I've wept myself to sleep due to mostly self-inflicted loneliness, although those were rather fanciful and perhaps even therapeutic in comparison to what I had last night. The whole thing has me rather unnerved than noticeably mopey, hence why I turned to you. I don't really have anyone else to talk to about this. My mother is off limits, more on that later. I don't have close friends with whom I feel comfortable enough to discuss this with, and all the professional counselors in the area are personal acquaintances of mine and my mother. She attended a post-graduation course in positive psychotherapy several years back, where she was under the tutelage of several of those local medical universities' professors and teaching assistants. Later, I came under their same tutelage with my mandatory psychology course during my studies of human medicine. Humane medicine. After I had passed said course, me, my mother, and several of the aforementioned tutors went to a small congress on positive psychotherapy
in Germany. Actually, as opposed to inhumane medicine, so... Maybe it is human. It's just a typo.
Or it could be, like, being compassionate to sick assholes. People not...
A humane proctologist.
Yes, of course. So, anyways. Hence, I know all the potential counselors personally, and thus I know that their tendency to gossip and personal bitterness will invariably outweigh any professional obligation to keep their vitriolic traps shut. Indubitably, the word of my disorder would reach my mother, which that would be a rather flagrant catastrophe, one I couldn't cope with at this time. And let's examine how I came to this rather dramatic conclusions. I discovered the internet back in 2001-ish. Around a year or so later, I decided to look up SWATcast porn. That yielded a combination of poorly drawn pics and a myriad of mediocre, sweaty stories. A rather large chunk of those were of the homosexual nature. Surprisingly, I was not disgusted or disturbed by the things portrayed there, as I was 13 at the time and very much the social recluse I am to this day, and I had only sexual fantasies of a heterosexual nature. Up until the very day when I'm writing this, I remain a total virgin. Virgin. Yeah. I turned 28 in July, having never had a girlfriend or boyfriend, never having asked another person out. I thought I had a crush on one of my girl classmates at the end of middle school, even fantasized about her a few times. However, my verdict at the time was that although physically pleasing, she had an impossible attitude. Had I made any advances, things would have ended unfavorably for me. That, and I'm pretty sure she had a boyfriend at the time. She later evolved into a rather prominent slut in her high school years, but I digress. During high school, I had another crush, this time, however, on the object of my desire was male. He was a rather dashing jock, also a mathematical prodigy, even more so than me, who was friendly to all with an infectious smile. I guess that got me attracted to him. Deciding to play it safe, I never made any advances toward him. He soon acquired a sophisticated girlfriend, that to say she was studious, popular, albeit with somewhat plain looks, and with a good heart. My attraction was mostly physical. I was actually very pleased for him when he got together with his girlfriend. I may have stared, at times with regrettably deficient discretion, at him in the locker room, but I hope you can forgive a hormone-intoxicated teenager this transgression. Yes, he got a very... Fuzz is implying you get it up close. Anyways, let's find out where it was. He never did mention it to me that he'd noticed my ogling, but he may have just been acting polite. Sadly, at the end of high school, he joined a rather elitist clique and people from which I could barely suffer to be in the same room with. And then I put this on YouTube and monetized it because I need some revenue.
TLDR.
All in all, high school was hell, forcing me to shut myself inward severely. A chief culprit for that would be, at my time, petulant obsession with trying to shine in class. I would score high on all tests, always participate in class, and regrettably finish teacher's sentences at times. I suppose having nowhere else to get real positive feedback at the time, I had to milk it from my teachers. Being the overly studious teacher's pet did, however, get me into a lot of people's bad sides. Hence, I really didn't make any friends in high school. In the meantime, I slowly discovered the furry fandom. I've been a registered member of FA since pretty much day one. The fandom and its fantasies of idealized loving animal people became a substitute for my relative lack of social interaction. Thoughts of my sexuality began gnawing at my mind. I was slowly becoming convinced that I was not as straight as I had originally thought. There came a point in late high school when I decided to share my brewing suspicions with my best and only confidant, my mother. Looking back, her reaction was pretty classical. She pretty much fell apart because she was convinced that it was her fault for me ruining her life. Her fault for me ruining my life. By ruining my life, she meant an idealized normal future, wife, kids, etc. Some context to why she thought it was her fault. Firstly, even though she is an MD, she was taught that homosexuality was a disease back in the good old communist days of my country. Having also recently graduated from the aforementioned positive psychotherapy course, she felt capable of identifying the cause of my revelation, namely that it was caused by her being an overbearing mother and my father being somewhat deficient. Sadly, my old man was rather infatuated with the bottle and eventually drank himself to death, literally, just as I was in my third semester of med school. Thankfully, he was never physically abusive, although he more than made up for that verbally. Both me and my mother stood by him till the end, about 7 years back. He was a great dad in my kindergarten years, but he slowly drifted away from me and towards alcohol. As I said before, I was very good at school, brought home straight A's, didn't go out drinking or partying, didn't smoke or do drugs. Thankfully, those tendencies remain to this day. Never gave him any reason to worry about a single thing about me. I still don't think he was ever able to fully appreciate that. In fact, in his final years, probably swallowing in self-pity, he was very active in putting me down and downplaying my achievements. He'd tell me how useless and pathetic I was, and say even worse things about Mother. Thankfully, he never had the slightest clue I may have had an interest in men. He used to morbidly joke I'd turn out to a loser fag. I dread to think what he'd say or do had he known my inclinations. To this day, I blame him in part for my low to non-existent self-esteem. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
The other part, of course, is due to my mother. In the first years of his downward spiral, he was becoming more and more aware of his drinking problem. She was becoming more and more aware of his drinking problem. To compensate her gradual loss of control over him, she turned her attention to me. Every minor transgression or idea, even remotely discordant with her perception of normality, was met with a fierce and loud argument, following by her giving me the silent treatment for days afterwards. Her being my only confidant, my father being present mostly in body, I took these silent treatments rather poorly. I learned to dread them and slowly molded my entire routine to evading any and all confrontations with her. It is possible those arguments may have left an emotional scar, and they are part of the reason of my current misery. I dread losing touch with the only person who still cares for me. Just a bit. The other part is where she blames herself for being too overbearing in that period, consecutively allegedly turning me gay. Okay, that is the right word. She had made me promise to forget all such things and return to the normal path so I could live a happy life. I had a slip-up some 8 years back. She caught me printing out rather explicit gay picture of two furries. At that point, she was also aware of my other horrid deviation. As you so eloquently put it, dog people fucking. The furry, at least, paled in comparison to the gay on her transgression measuring scale. She fell apart once more, starting again with the silent treatments, and saying having lost all happiness in life and the purpose to live, she'd only exist as a mute servant for me until she expires. I took that hard. I fell apart as well, ending up in self-loathing, and promised her I'd reform myself. Not even a minute. Dude, your parents were fucked up. Needless to say, in the following years, this promise has been unraveling gloriously. She's still none the wiser, and I intend to keep it that way for fear of another mutual emotional disaster, should she find out. I praised the new properly lockable doors in our apartment installed some years back after a major overhaul of the place. Yes, I still live with my mother, apologies if I seem like a petulant parasite. Because of the guilt and shame over my dirty little secret, I've gradually lost the ability to call Mother Mom to her face. However, up till yesterday, I was pretty much certain that I would be able to keep my promise to her and find a wife I could be happy and have children with. I even had a particular girl in mind. I was considering writing to you about how one could break it to the wife or wife-to-be that they're bi curious and have an obscenely large stash of digital gay porn in the most considerate and gentle way possible. Keeping secrets is rather taxing on me, so spilling my guts to a potential better half would need to happen at some point in time. That was the plan, but after yesterday's soul-searching, I found that such a union would prove to be rather disastrous for both sides in the long run. Another aspect to make matters worse for me is the miserable availability of potential partners and the general attitudes of the public towards homosexuals in my country. Homosexuality is not illegal in any way, however, it is severely ridiculed and dramatically looked down upon. It doesn't help that it was, in fact, illegal back in the communist days, was considered a disease of the mind, and so on. The Orthodox Church, thankfully, although condemning it, does not actively pursue homosexuals or psychologically abuse them. Additionally, most, if not all, prominent homosexuals in local media are flagrant, spoiled, insufferable drama queens and outright gigolos who seek to monetize their sexual orientation by drawing attention to themselves. We basically have no positive examples of decent members of society from this demographic. It doesn't help that the local gay forums are overflowing with messages of men whoring themselves out to whomever would scratch their prostates. Ooh, that'd be bad. And our advice how to convert straight guys. This is pretty much 90% of the content, and I find it distasteful at best. Also, of the openly and not so openly gay people, I've had the pleasure to make the acquaintance of, well, pretty much...
Yeah, there's...
This is Jesus Christ.
Well, there's a lot of gay self-loathing here, definitely.
You kind
of
roboted there, Fuzz.
Oh, okay. I can't do much about that.
No. Or... And it's weird, because it's been up until now that...
Right. Yeah, I'm gonna say, like, you're
really self-loathing, dude.
Yeah, and that stems from, and I can see that in every aspect of the way you're talking about, you know, this girl's a slut, this other girl has a nice personality, but is kind of plain, all these gay people that are in public are terrible and shallow and stuff like that. I mean, all those attitudes are expressions of your own sexual repression and self-loathing. And that is definitely something that you need to deal with. And honestly, if you're writing to a furry podcast, there's not really a lot that we can do to help you when you have an entire lifetime
of
everything you are, you've been told is wrong and bad. You know, and you said, you know, you're a virgin and you have no experience in dating or courting and such. You definitely need to address all the mental issues first.
Yeah.
You know, before you even think
about... You can't love someone else if you don't love yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
As trite as that sounds, it's true.
And, you know, you're... thinking you're gay and giving up the dream of a quote, and it is in quotes, quote, normal family and kids, you can still either adopt or artificially inseminate somebody who's willing. And, you know, I know of a lot of gay couples who are married and have children and are very happy. At least, and I can't speak for to your country, but at least in the U.S., there are a lot of that, you know, discovering you're gay is this thing that happens. And then you can kind of, and it does shake up your perceptions of the, I was growing up and I was told, graduate high school, go to college, graduate,
get married, have pop out kids.
Pop out a couple of kids.
2.5. Don't ask about the 0.5 child.
Yeah. Then retire, et cetera. And, you know, and you have that, this is the way it works kind of map given to you all of your life. And then you discover, that's not going to work for you exactly like that. Well, then you reevaluate your expectations. And if you still really want kids and you find a workaround, and there's a ton of kids out there that straight people had and didn't want, and they don't care if they're being raised by two daddies.
Yeah, and I mean, you sounded like you've kind of been mindfucked your entire life, and that sucks.
But that's not exactly abnormal. Yeah. I mean, that happens especially in conservative parts of the U.S., in conservative areas in other countries.
If he's in Poland or Germany, I mean, I'm guessing because he's talking communism, you know, Eastern Germany or Poland or
that. One of the Asian countries, not China, but maybe like Taiwan or Malaysia or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of fucked. And, you know, you have to get to
because
a point.
Because like Germany and Poland and the Nordic countries are actually really progressive. So it's probably living somewhere not as progressive. Going robot-y again, Sarah?
Yeah. And it's weird. It just comes and goes.
Well, you finish up.
Yeah. And, you know, you are going to have to do a lot of self-reflection. You have to determine for yourself what you want. And your mom's roadmap is not your map. That is the biggest point of you fucking yourself over. Because your parents didn't help. But trying to cleave yourself to this map that your mom wants for you is not healthy, and it's not going to work. And you have to determine for yourself what you want your future to be. And, you know, if you're gay, all right, you have to work with it. You have to figure out how to like yourself and be like, all right, I'm cool. I'm fine how I am. And until you get that realization, you're not going to find somebody, because you have to, you know, as I said earlier, you have to like yourself before other people can like you, especially in a romantic sense. Why do you have friends? Well, you're a ball of self-loathing until you decide, no, I'm cool. I'm actually an all right guy.
Also, finding a gay-friendly therapist would be a start, because, I mean, if the therapists that are around your mom that you're talking about do not sound very professional.
No.
You need to look outside that network for help. And finding a gay-friendly or non-religious therapist would be a big start to that. And, you know, one thing we don't know about your country is if there's any gay networking there, because part of your concern further down here is being alone and having to stay in the closet and not having any friends to confide in. Then if there is a gay community that you can visit on the down low, you can actually find some people to talk to and get some help.
Yeah. I mean, you just got to make that step. So that was long and unfortunate in many ways. There's a short email about a YouTube channel.
It's not really short.
So it's a furry doing okay, so I'm just going to read this one real quick. It's a YouTube channel.
Yeah, sure.
New YouTube channel all about furries. We here really love the things you guys post online and what your content does for the fandom, so we hope you'll take some time to check out what we've been doing. Where does the love of anthropomorphs come from? How far back can we dig in history and mass media to really get to the bottom of it? Why does every culture across the face of the earth have fascination with animal people? Well, it's pretty effed up, isn't it? Culturally effed
culturally effed explores these notions of the furries in the past and present, climbing the ladder of history through mass media and the ways humans have blended their properties of man and animal and why, from cave paintings to comic books and everything in between. Culturally effed is an exploration of what makes everyone just a little bit furry and what makes furries especially furry. Culturally effed does not mean fuck, or it's the other F-bomb, furry, or furried, furred, or fluffed, whatever you want it to be. Effed airs on YouTube every other week, and there are already some episodes online. We're just getting our feet wet by used to this YouTube thing, so the quality will only be getting better as we get more episodes online. I know how that goes, right? You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr for Affinity Weasel, and of course subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Well, they gave us a very well-constructed email with plenty of links that my ancient ass...
So, culturally_FD is their Twitter... And I could just press and hold on the iPad. Facebook.com/culturallyfd. Tumblr, culturallyfd.tumblr.com.
So I bet if you look for culturallyfd, you'll probably find them.
Same on FA.
So who is culturallyfd? RK is a red-winged blackbird from Toronto whose curiosity and confirmation bias has led him down the slippery slope of discovering the anthropomorphic art of yesterday. He's the host and writer for Culturally Effed, specializing in regurgitating Wikipedia in an entertaining way. Underbite Dragon is an illustrator from Newfoundland. Newfies. Responsible for the opening titles and art direction of the project, he's the man behind the camera and has assisted in the editing process of EFT. To talk to either of us, the best way is through the culturally.fd@gmail.com account. What is Culturally EFT? Well, here's an episode guide for all the episodes we filmed that are in the process of prepping for release. Introduction, defining anthropomorphic and the overall goal of the channel, distant ancestors, history... The story of discovery of the Lhasa cave and some of the anthro artifacts from prehistory, old gods and the new. We take a look at the gods of ancient Egypt and Rome, Horus, Isis, and Pan and their transition to a Christian society, myths and tricksters.
It's just 60 minutes of Omer, Anubis, and so you
think. Oh, man. I want to fuck that god of death. Banned books. How anthro animal books have been banned into parts of the world. So we're going to talk about moss.
For being too furry. Animal. Actually, ridiculously, like, mouse was... banned in Russia for being Nazi propaganda when it's actually the story of a Jew who survived the Holocaust.
Yeah.
And it's just like, stupid.
Let's see. Comics and Freight Publishing, TV and Toys, Furries on the Internet, RPGs and Moons LARPs, Gatherings, Furry Economics, Furry Economy, Conclusions, and Bonus Episodes. They've got 14 episodes lined up. We've actually filmed all of these in advance, except the bonus episode, and are editing them for release. This is only the first run, and we hope to produce more content when we get to the summer. Do you have any ideas for future topics? Want to get involved? We're always looking for editors, writers, and even guest hosts. Tweet at us or post one of our mini walls, or send us an email at culturally.fd@gmail.com. That's cool. It's like a furry, season video. That's pretty cool.
Let's check it out.
Yeah. Check them out. Like and subscribe.
That's like the YouTube anthem.
Yes, like and subscribe. Like and subscribe. Give me your clicks. Get that sweet, sweet SEO. So that's cool.
SEO is the new drug.
Yeah. Man, I don't know why we've all of a sudden gone robot. I'm sorry, guys. There's not much we can do about that.
Until we get our shit together... This is what you're stuck with. Sorry.
Well, I mean, we do have a chunk of cash sitting in Patreon.
Yeah, we do need
to look at this after the show. So, we're going to wrap up. You can still use your coupon code nodadamandeve.com for the time being. But we'd much prefer if you went and followed us on Patreon. A little $4 a month on the top end. And if we're not sick, like $2 or $3 a month, as little as a dollar an episode can help us continue to... bring top quality, long as hell, furry podcasts to your ears for free. We would greatly appreciate it if you go check out us at patreon.com/notcast. And patrons get episodes a day early.
So I've been your host, Johnny Five from Short Circuit.
Yep. And I've been the nicely voiced furry.
You're not going to be a robot too?
No, I'm actually not a robot.
You're Hal. You have that very even sort of tone. You can tell me.
I can't let you do that, Fuzzwolf.
Yeah, so you could tell me I was going to die, and I would just be so relaxed about it.
I'm sorry, Johnny Five. You're going to be recycled.
No, don't disassemble.
No disassemble.
So you can follow me on Twitter at Saverin Drake. You can follow me on YouTube at Just a Fox, or you can just search for Saverin Drake.
Watch my videos, like and subscribe.
You can follow the show on Twitter at Notcast, at Tumblr at Notcast. You can ask us anonymous questions via Tumblr. You can find us on FA at Notcast. Notcast at foxeffers.com is the Gmail, or is the email address.
Yes.
Notcast@gmail.com also works. And you, what about you? What are you?
Okay.
Who are you?
I'm Fuzzwolf. So, Twitter, FA, Tumblr, and Live Journal at Fuzzwolf.
Yay.
Which I haven't updated in ages.
God, I think.
And of course, FurPlanet.com, BadDogBooks.com, buy some books.
The last time I updated my Live Journal was like in 2010.
It's probably for a while there, like some. Actually, I occasionally will cross post stuff about what FurPlanet is doing. I don't know when the last time I actually made a real Live Journal post was. You know, I probably made one not that long. I made a new releases post from Midwest in November.
Nice. Good job.
Yeah, which is not exactly of a personal nature. Oh, I did post a Central Plains FurCon Con report in November.
That's cool. I should just like go back and be like, just post once, hey, this is where I'm doing shit now, on Live Journal.
Yeah.
It's like, if any of you care still or wonder who the fuck this guy is posting, you know, who is this guy and why does he have a horde icon? Because I was a major WoW fag back then.
Oh, and I guess you haven't logged in to update it.
I have more icons than I'm allowed, so there's like, I'd have to go and delete a bunch of old icons.
Yeah, I noticed that.
It's like, you have more icons than we now allow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't want to put ads on it. It'll make even less people read it.
Yeah. So, on that note, I think we're going to wrap it up. It is now.
Oh, and Shiva was sick
this week. Yeah, Shiva was sick.
But she wasn't here.
We didn't fire her or anything. She's just been sick.
Yeah. You know,
she has the Chiquette flu. And
I think we'll all be here next week. IIRC.
Yes. I will be here next Thursday.
Okay. I'll be
going
down to Houston. There's nothing on the calendar for the next couple weeks.
Friday. Saturday, Sunday, but I'll be coming back Sunday.
Yeah, and you can have a con report of Fiesta Equestria
the week after that, yeah.
Yep.
All right, cool. Well, thank you for listening, folks, and we will see you next week. On that note, good night.
Good night, and God bless.
That's not how we do it. That's not how we do it at all!
And big balls!
No!